Your Bibles, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of Gentiles. And let's finish on verse 12 together. Ready? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And let's pray. Father, again, we sure do thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, as we look at the Word of God, would you teach it to us through your man, through sinful flesh? Each and every person here has a need, and there's no way I could meet it, but you could through the Word of God, through their heart, through your leadership. So please do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think I can help you tonight. Boys and girls, if you'll listen to preacher tonight, I can help you. If parents, you older folks, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. Young parents with new journeys with children, listen to me, I can help you. We live in a world that is nearly totally obsessed with fear and panic. We fear finances, we fear war, we fear crime, we fear not enough clean air, not enough clean water, not enough fuel. We are told that the world will self-destruct in the next 10 years. We fear asteroids hitting the earth and can hardly walk outside with fear of somebody robbing or assaulting us. Good night, the world's going to overpopulate in the next 2 years. Global warming's going to burn us all and we're going to feel like hell on earth. Amen? Our society has created an atmosphere of fear and panic. The news is full of panic. Now, listen to me. Our government is full of panic. Our schools teach panic. And everyone walks around in fear. People are afraid of doctors and dentists and needles, but we have the most drug-infested generation in history. Every human has fear. Folks, I don't care how tough you are, there's something you're afraid of. All right? Every human has fear, and everybody's afraid of something. It might be rats. It might be snakes. It might be spiders. It might be speaking in front of public in crowds. Some of you are afraid of dogs. Some of you are afraid of water. Some of you are afraid of clowns, or some of you are afraid of balloons. You say, there's no way. Oh, yeah, there is. I had one of, I don't remember. I think I know which one of my children. I know it's one of two. They were afraid of balloons. And they were so afraid of balloons when they were little, they saw a pumpkin one day and started screaming like it was a balloon. They were just a little shaver there, but it was great. Some people are afraid of heights. Now, heights don't bother me. I'm one of those people. I am not afraid of heights. Jeremiah knows, or Brother Stoltz knows what I'm talking about. He and I had to do some work on this roof. We have a ladder that gets us to the roof, but it's about 3 feet short. It makes it to the spouting, and at an angle like this. Going up's bad. Here's the problem. When you go to get off that roof, you don't know where the ladder's at. You're hanging 40 feet off the air trying to dangle down, find where your feet go on that ladder because there's nothing there. You don't see it. Amen, Brother Stoltz? Yeah, buddy. You say, what is that? There's a fine line between faith and stupidity, and we crossed it. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of falling. It's just a sudden stop at the bottom I'm afraid of, amen? Some of you are afraid of tight places, claustrophobia. I won't tell you who, but they live in my house. They are quite claustrophobic. There are people that are afraid of elevators. I was at the hospital the other day, and this lady got on, and we were going up. And matter of fact, we were going to the same floor. And as soon as that thing took off, her eyes got about that big. I said, "You afraid?" She said, "Mm-hmm." "How could you tell?" I said, "Oh, just a good guess." I said, "It's okay. I've only been stuck on this elevator 4 times. She looked at me. She said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, maybe it was only 3. I said, "I am kidding, ma'am." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. It's okay. Don't worry." I said, "I'm just teasing with you." It lightened the moment for me. Not for her. It was great. When that door opened up, she went, it was great. Now, everybody's afraid of something. Now, listen to this statement. Being afraid and having your fear control you are two totally different things. Panic attacks are when fear controls you. Feeling fear is a natural thing. Allowing fear overwhelming you and controlling you, that's when it crosses the line. Now, Americans are living in a state of panic. The world calls it clinical anxiety. We seek medications. We seek drugs. We seek alcohol. We seek illicit relationships to cover our fear. We seek movies, amusement parks, and escapes from reality to cover the fear. We're even afraid of people who sometimes don't fear fear. The government starting and the schools are starting to tell people, well, if you're not afraid of a gun, something's wrong with you. People that aren't afraid of weapons should be feared because they're the kind of people that are going to come shoot you and kill you. That's what your kids are being taught in the public systems nowadays. Everybody doing okay? Being afraid is not necessarily wrong, but allowing a fear to control you is wrong. Now, you cannot live without fear, but you can live without fear controlling you. Tonight, I want to help you. The Bible says, verse number 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Can I tell you something? God does not give you a spirit of fear. I am against the methods of some denominations that they have to scare you into doing what you're supposed to do. Now, folks, I'm not afraid to preach on hell. I'm not afraid to preach on the judgment of God. Not afraid to preach on those things. But they're not to scare you, they're to show you the reality of what is to come. If it scares you, that's fine. But to live in fear and panic of it is another thing. You need to get saved and get by that. Because God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, you don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You don't have to wonder the rest of your life, am I saved, am I not? Am I saved, am I not? Am I saved, am I not? If I die, am I really going to go to heaven or am I not? No, God said if you trust him as your Savior, you are going, nothing you can do about it. Just like you can't get unborn from your mama, you can't get unborn from God. That's all there is to it. You can settle your salvation. I know people that every other year they've got to come see me about, well, did I really mean it enough? Get over it. Did you do it? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. You're saved. Well, I don't mean to be crude, but I always say it this way. Did your mama mean to have you or not? Doesn't matter. She had you. You're birthed. Guess what? Whether you meant it all the way or not, guess what? You're birthed. Everybody doing okay? You don't have to wonder about it. You know, the Pentecostals and Charismaniacs that believe you get saved and lose it, get saved and lose it, you know, their rapture's like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Good night. We don't have to fear certain things. Now, look at me and I'll hurry. Number one, we are afraid of things that we should not be afraid of. Let me say that again. We are afraid of things that we should not be afraid of. I'll use this this illustration. We are creating a generation that are afraid of guns, but they're not afraid of alcohol. Do you know that in America, the last 10 years running, there are 8 times as more people killed every year by alcohol than there are by guns? 8 times. For every one person that's killed by a weapon, 8 people are killed by alcohol. Directly, not indirectly, directly. Say, where's that in the news? It's not, because the government's making money off of it. That's why they want to legalize marijuana, so they can tax it, just like they did the alcohol in the 1920s. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. You see the slogans, guns kill people. No, guns don't kill people. People kill people. I have never seen a gun get off of a table, get up, walk down the road, point itself, shoot somebody, and run away. Not one time. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Bush. You're right. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, there are more people beaten to death with blunt objects than are shot every year in America. You don't see them making steak knives illegal. There are more people stabbed to death every year in America than are shot. Everybody doing okay? Say, why are they doing this? They want to disarm you, keep you in panic so that they can control the guns and not you. By the way, this is not new. Go back in history, study history. This is the way it's always been. History repeats itself. You say, why does it repeat itself? Because people don't learn from it. People are afraid of... I'm going to get in trouble on this one. People are afraid of real leaders. The new thing now is they're going to quit calling bosses bosses because boss is a bad word. Because some sissy, man, I have so many words I'd like to say right there, but I think I might get in trouble. Sitting in some high-level teaching position and study position that studies words and how it affects people. And because so many people have a negative connotation of the word boss, boss must be a bad word. The reason it's a bad word is because you got a bunch of lazy rascals afraid to get off their blessed assurance and do some flat-out labor and work. Folks, boss is not a bad word. Now, no person really likes to be a boss. If you have a level of leadership with people you work, you'll find the hardest thing for a real leader to do is boss people. Man, I've had a staff of 28 that have worked for me before. I helped oversee scores and literally hundreds of people on staffs here and there. Can I tell you something? I hate bossing people. I do. But somebody's got to be the boss. Anything with more than one head is a monster. Somebody's got to say, this is the way it's going to be. So, well, I don't always agree. If you were in their position, let's find out what you would do. You say you do it now, but why don't you get the experience they have? Maybe you do it the way they do it. Why don't you just shut up and do it their way and figure out why they said that and go on? Boy, that's a good statement right there. We're afraid of people with power. Can I tell you something? I'm not afraid of politicians. They work for me. I don't work for them. We've been taught by secular humanists long enough that we've given too much power to our government. Now they want to run us instead of us run them. Everybody doing all right? You out there? Okay. You don't have to be afraid of educators. Well, they just know so much more than I know. Some of them don't know enough to blow their own nose. I've met some of these real smart people. Most of them don't know how to comb their hair. Most of them can't match their clothes. And most of them, if you get them off the topic that they know, do you know that Albert Einstein, the person with the highest IQ that we've recorded, had to have somebody walk him to and from work because he couldn't find his way to or from work? You realize he could not find his way from point A to point B. Somebody had to guide him each step. He'd get lost going home. He may have been smart about physics and all those wonderful things, and I'm glad he knew what he knew. But he's not the kind of guy I went out in the woods with me when we're hunting and rely on him, amen? He's not the kind of guy I want working the grill, amen? You give me Brother Jimmy any day. Say, why? That man knows how to run a grill. We were over at their house a couple weeks ago at a little picnic that they had, and man, that man knows how to cook. You say, why? Because Erica knows how to cook. She's got him beaten into subjection really good, amen? Wait a minute. I'm going to make a statement here. We're to the point in our world where parents fear their children. You're afraid to, your children are being taught that if mommy and daddy discipline you or if they paddle you, they're abusing you and the government will take your children away. You know what my dad said? There's a phone. Call him. I'll help him. He said, you want to turn me in? There's a phone. But y'all coming back? I believed my dad, just so you know. You say, he wouldn't have done it. You don't know my dad. You want it that bad? There it is, but you're not coming back. They can have you. Whew. You say, didn't he love you? I guess we did okay. Now, listen to me very carefully. You shouldn't be afraid to correct your children. I used to say this as a principal all the time. I'd get a 4 or 5 year old, and I'd say, you know what? 5 year old children don't tell 45 year old adults what to do. 45 year old adults tell 5 year old children what to do, and they obey. And if they don't, there's consequences, and here's what you're going to get. I didn't have a bad attitude. You don't need a bad attitude. I just told them. And if they didn't do it, they took the consequences. You know, somebody needs to, and by the way, some of you that have grown children, remember what it was like when you had little ones? It wasn't as easy as you think it is now. You're through it. They're going through it. You have the experience of having already gone through it. Be patient. I tell younger parents this all the time, especially folks in Brother Jerry's class. That wonderful stage, 2 to 4, God bless you. That's the stage that you wish, you know, that's where, who was the, Mark Twain used to say, you put them in a barrel, and when they turn 3, you plug the hole. I understand that, you know, there's a point to that, but this is, I tell parents this all the time. Look, they're acting like sinners because they are, and they're not saved. You say, but my kid is a demon. So are you. Don't worry about it. They're lost and they're acting like a lost person. They're acting fleshly because that's what they are. You need to keep getting them the gospel, keep teaching them what sin is. Pray every day that they get saved early in life so that you don't have that problem when they're 13. Amen. That's the big thing. Once they get saved, things start changing, I promise you. Now, before they get saved, they are a lost hellion. You know why? Because that's what they are. And I don't mean that because your kid's bad. All of them are that way. Once they start understanding right from wrong and they get saved, they then have a Holy Spirit inside of them. Ooh. When there's no Holy Spirit, guess how you would act? Everybody doing okay? So be patient, but be firm, be consistent. Well, I'm afraid if I punish my child, they won't love me. No, according to the Bible, if you don't punish them, they won't love you. Amen. People are afraid of work. Man. Brother Mike, you'll love this. I've lost families in this church because I preach this way. I've lost couple families in this church because I preach that you ought to work. And by the way, I think you ought to be the hardest workers anywhere. If you're a Christian, they're looking at you. Work hard. Young people, you get a job for your first time, work hard. You say, I just don't think. Can I tell you something? There's so many people afraid to work. You don't want to move up at work because you're afraid of failure. Can I tell you something? Try. I'd rather fail at trying than succeed at not trying. Say, have you ever failed? More times than I can count. Guess what? I learned what not to do, fixed it, and turned it into success. I know people that refuse to work hard because they might get more responsibility than somebody else. Lord have mercy. I'm just going to say this. I never feared working harder than anybody else around me. Matter of fact, I feared not working harder than everybody around me. Did you catch that? When I worked in a machine shop, I broke many, if not most, of the production records on the afternoon shift. They said, well, that's because you're working the afternoon shift. If you work day shift, you couldn't do that. My last 6 months I worked at the shop, we started working swing shift, two weeks of days, two weeks of evenings. Do you know I was breaking my own records on day shift? That went over like a lead balloon. Okay, for those of you that are blondes, lead balloons don't float. I didn't care what shift I was on. I was going to prove I could work harder than anybody there. I didn't know as much about the machines as a lot of those people knew. I didn't know as much about some of the things that those machines did as they knew, but I did know how to produce parts. And I decided I was going to work as hard with what knowledge I knew. Guess what? I did okay. Boy, that's good stuff. So, number one, we're afraid of things that we should not fear. Number two, I love this. Turn in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to show you just a couple verses here. 1 John chapter 4, leave your Bible there, and we're going to use 1 John just a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible says, and that's not it, 4:18. Can't read my own handwriting. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, look at me. That word perfect does not mean sinless. It means mature or complete. Did you ever bite into grapes that weren't ripe? Purple grapes that were green? We used to have Concord grapes when I was growing up in our yard. My mom made wine out of them 1 year. It was grape juice, but it didn't seal, and we didn't know it till we opened it up. Two glasses of that before you go to school in the morning could get you in trouble, amen? Kept saying, man, mom, this stuff's fizzy. No, it's not. Drink it. Shut up. Mom, this stuff's fizzing. No, it's not. I said, mom, this stuff, try it. Oh, don't drink that. No, we've been trying to tell you. Shut up and drink it. Mm-hmm. I can't say alcohol never passed these lips, but it's my mother that gave it to me, amen? I'm teasing. I'm not sure it was alcohol then, but it was getting close. listen to me. The Bible says perfect love. Did you ever eat green grapes that were supposed to be purple? The Bible calls them sour grapes that set your teeth on edge. Trust me, if you've never done that, your throat slaps your nose out, okay? It comes right out your mouth, and it'll just turn you inside out. They are really tart. And the Bible says it's not mature. It's not perfect. You let those things ripe, and they get ripe, and they turn color to the right color, and they get real fat and about ready to explode, and then pick them. You can't eat enough of them. Say why? Because they're perfect. They're mature. They're complete. The Bible says perfect love, listen to this, casteth out fear. I love this. I'm about to throw a spell. That term, casteth out, means to bind with chains and throw away. Matter of fact, it's used again in the book of Revelation, where the Bible says that God will look at Satan one day and bind him with chains and cast him into hell. He will bind him with chains, cast him into hell, by the way, and it gets rid of all fear of sin because the devil is then bound and there is no sin. Perfect love casteth out fear. Do you know that love can overcome fear? You know that, parents, if you'll love your children rather than beat your children through their fears, they're more apt to get through their fears. I know, dads, it's hard to look at that little three-year-old and say, come on, quit being afraid of the lightning and the thunder. Guess what? They are. Quit being afraid of the dark. Well, you were too. You thought the boogeyman was under your bed more than once. Well, there's things you're afraid of. Be careful. You got to love them through it. You might have to pull them out of the bed and make them look under the bed and realize nothing's there with the light on or the light off. But you're going to have to get them through that thing. Perfect love comes from the Creator through the Holy Spirit. By the way, God's not afraid of anything. I'm going to tell on myself. My daughter has a fear I used to have a fear of. She doesn't know this, but I had a fear of tornadoes. My mom and dad will tell you. Oh, I hated storms and I hated tornadoes. And when you grow up in Ohio, you see a lot of funnel clouds. I've seen a lot of them. My dad finally got so mad at me one day. There was two things I was deathly afraid of. That and the fire siren. We had volunteer fire department. And y'all know what I'm talking about. That I still hate sirens on ambulances and police cars and everything. They just set me on edge. I just don't like those things. Now, I'm not afraid of them anymore. One night, we had a real nasty storm brewing. You know, one of those nights when you walk out and the sky turns green. Okay, in Ohio, that means take shelter. Not my dad. You're going out. I'm going to the basement. Nope, you're going to get through this. Man, it was pouring to beat the bandwagon. You know what my dad did? He walked me outside, held me, and said, look, it's rain, it's wind, and it's lightning, and it's thunder, and it's not going to get you. Say, what'd he do? He taught me how to get through that fear. Man, I've seen, I don't know how many tornadoes since that day. I respect them. I'm not afraid of them. I don't like them. We were driving to Minnesota one year. We were going up 65. We were in central Indiana going up 65 between Indianapolis and Illinois. And we were in a storm where it was going this way. And I told my wife, this one's bad. I looked up and I could see a tornado on this side of the road. I said, uh-oh. Now, I had three kids in the back of the van. Say, what are you going to do? I just kept driving. It was behind me. I kept driving. I told my wife, look in the rearview mirror. She looked in her mirror and went, I said, mm-hmm. We kept driving. I watched that tornado pass behind me, right across where I had just come from. Say, when did you tell your kids? A couple years later. Say, why? Do you want to travel another 14 hours with freaked out kids? Not me, man. Now, wait a minute. Were you afraid? No, I was just going to make sure I pushed the pedal a little faster and get out of there, amen. It was behind me. It wasn't coming my direction. I'm safe. Just keep on driving. Man, I watched that thing cross. I don't know. We read it in the paper the next day. It was great. Told my kids, we drove through that one. I saw that. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. Your mom saw it too. No, she didn't. I said, go ask her. Did you see that, Mom? Yep. Ooh. It was great. You know, love casts out fear. Listen to this. Following the Holy... By the way, when dad's not afraid, you don't have anything to worry about. When God's not afraid, guess what? You don't have anything to worry about. You know what my dad told me? He said, son, when I get afraid, it's time to start getting afraid. He said, until then, quit being afraid. He said, if you see dad afraid, then it's time to get afraid. Works. Works. Man, I always, is he afraid? Man, how can he be so calm? Okay, he's not afraid yet. Yeah. Is he afraid yet? No, not afraid. Stink. Can't get afraid till he does. Thank God he never got afraid. Guess what? God never gets afraid. following the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will cast out fear. 1 John chapter 5, just a few verses later, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Boys and girls, can I tell you how not to be afraid of mom and dad? Obey. Can I tell you how not to be afraid at school? Obey. You know, if you're following the rules and obeying what the teacher wants, you never have to be afraid. Moms and dads, can I tell you how you can drive and not be afraid that there's a police officer in the middle of the road? Obey. Okay, we just went from preaching to meddling, didn't we? Real fast. I don't speed. I really don't. I did yesterday to get to the hospital in time to see Ellen and her mama. And I mean, I was doing more than the speed limit. Say why? Because I wanted to be there. Say, what would you have done? I told the police officer what I was doing, who I was. If you wanted to give me a ticket, great, but meet me at the hospital to give it to me. I was praying, Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to get there. I don't remember the last time I do remember the last time I got a speeding ticket. It was 25 years ago, this next coming June 24th, on the way to my wedding. I've driven 25 years without a speeding ticket. And I'm not going to get into that story. But can I tell you something? Many of you are afraid because you don't know that book right there. Hereby we know the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and most of you don't know what his commandments are. Do you read that book every day? Do you know what that book says? Do you love the God that wrote it, or is it just a rule book and, man, I got to keep those stupid rules? Live by the truths of the Bible and learn how to overcome fear. Can I tell you something? If you yield to the Holy Spirit, you can overcome your fear. You know, the Holy Spirit's bigger than you are. You know, the Holy Spirit's bigger than your boss. You know, the Holy Spirit's bigger than your problem. You know, the Holy Spirit's bigger than that person you're afraid of. So what do? I yield to the Holy Spirit. And I let him do it for me. Boy, that's good stuff. Fear hates truth. By the way, that's why socialism, that's why humanism hates Christianity. Because Christianity is based on the Word of God. That's why we got to have the right Word of God, the only true Word of God, and not a false one. That's why the issue of the King James Bible is an issue. Because you got to have the truth. Not part of it, you got to have it all. Everybody doing okay? By the way, this is why our public schools are going down educationally, because they're not based on truth. That's why we have shootings, stabbings, murders, teachers being held hostage. We could go through the whole thing. Who would ever, if you're over 40 years old, you would have never thought they'd have armed guards in schools and metal detectors. Never. That wasn't even thought of. Now it's a common occurrence. Okay. let me say this, and I'm treading on thin ice here, but mamas and daddies, quit bullying your kids. You know, a child shouldn't be afraid that his mom or his dad's going to, and I'm going to use this term, hit him the wrong way. God made a place on their body to hit. And it's the most padded place that you're sitting on right now. Now, I realize when they're tiny, tiny and growing up, every once in a while, a little flicking on the lip, that's done an awful lot. Or as my brother used to get all the time, soap, not me. But a little of that goes a long way. But may I say this, your children should never be abused. Quit being a bully. Somebody that has to keep you by making you physically afraid of them. By the way, paddling does not do that. Just so you know. I used to tell my children before I paddled them every time, spanking you will not fix the problem. It is only a physical reminder for you not to do this again. Just so you know. Daddies, beating them is not going to fix it. Okay? Everybody doing all right? Here we go. Next, God commands us to fear some things, and I will be very quick with this. God said you should fear sin. Can I tell you something? You ought to teach your kids to be afraid of sin. They ought to fear cigarettes. We were in South Carolina. I was getting my hair cut. Took my son to get hair cut. We were at the barber shop, and the barber shop was right across the street from the church. It was real convenient. Knew the guy. He was a good old Southern Baptist that smoked. I was in there getting my hair cut. He lit up a cigarette. He was cutting my son's hair. He said, "You're smoking." He said, "Yes, sir, it's a bad habit. You ought not do that." He said, "You're going to go to hell." I never saw a man swallow a lit cigarette before, but that was as close as I've ever seen. It went all the way in, and he said, "You better hope I'm not." He said, "Reverend." I said, "He's afraid of the cigarettes." He said, "Yeah, but, hey, man, yeah." Did you ever see an adult man afraid of a 5-year-old? It was great. Now, wait a minute. They ought to be afraid of alcohol. Teach your kids to be afraid of it. Can I tell you something, boys and girls? Alcohol's bad. Smoking's bad. By the way, drugs are bad. Now, if mama gives you an aspirin or something like that she's supposed to give you, it's okay. But I'm talking about illegal drugs, and abusing drugs is bad. Immorality is bad. You know, saying bad words is bad. The devil's music is bad. I don't care what words are put to it. Taking your clothes off to where people don't have to wonder what you are underneath your clothes is bad. Yes, wearing it so tight that they don't need to take your clothes off to see what you are is bad. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to tell you how to teach your kids. Some of you are going to confuse your kids. It's wrong for them to walk around the house naked, but if they put their underwear on and color it all kinds of colors and sit down around water and sand, it's okay. Can you see where they would be confused? See, I don't think you ought to preach that. Okay, don't think it, but I just did. The Bible says we ought to fear evil. By the way, you should fear being evil. And I'm just going to say this. I don't fear evil coming my way. I can handle that. I fear becoming evil to hurt the people that are evil that are attacking me. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Gossip is evil. Amen. Trying to destroy somebody's character and integrity is evil. By the way, just because somebody has a checkered past, shut your mouth. I'm not afraid to say it. By the way, if they're like Naomi and they come back empty and they come back bitter, can I tell you something? Let's love them back in. This is a hospital, not a museum. They ought to come back with people opening their arms, not rattling their lips. You rattle your lips, you're evil. Say, "Well, are you talking about me?" Yes, I don't care who you are. The press in America is evil. Say, "How much do you believe of the news? The date and not the weather." Folks, we need to fear evil. We need to fear God. You realize how fast God could take you out? Like that. Just like that. God teaches us we ought to fear Him. Folks, I believe we ought to respect God. Yes, I do. But I think you ought to tremble in your boots at the thought of facing Him. I just believe that. Say why? Because that means you're going to keep His word. Brother Ed, you know what I'm talking about here. He and I both worked with Brother Hiles. He was one of the easiest men in the world to talk to. Unless you did something wrong. And you didn't want to face Him on it. Now, you wanted to face Him versus Him coming to you. But let me say this. You say, why? Because that love turned into something you didn't want later. And He never made it that hard, but you loved Him and respected Him so much you didn't want to disappoint Him. That disappointment was rough. By the way, God's not afraid to be boss. I hate to tell the unbelievers, but God's in control, not them. The United States government's not in control. God is. Folks, quit trying to take control of God's work. Just love Him and fear Him. Now, our world is afraid of the wrong things. America and Christians are living in panic. You say, well, I'm afraid to knock on somebody's door. It says no trespassing and no soliciting. Do you knock on those doors, Brother Bush? Yes, I'm not selling anything. I'm giving the gospel away. I'm not asking for nothing. There's not a place I don't go soul winning, just so you know. Well, are you afraid? No, I'm not. We had the police called on us several months ago. Police came out. I said, need something? He said, somebody was calling saying you guys were soliciting. I walked over, handed him a tract, had my picture on it, said, I'm Pastor Bush, Grace Baptist Church. I said, we're just going door to door telling folks about our church, giving them the gospel. I said, do you want me to tell you what we're saying? He said, sure. That's like sick him to a bulldog, amen? That was called slick. I said, we're asking them if they know 100% sure they're going to heaven when they die. And if they don't, we're telling them how they know. I said, sir, do you know for sure? He said, I got saved when I was a boy. He said, you're out. You're fine. He said, I'll tell them I did my duty. He said, have a good night. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, are we violating anything? He said, nobody can stop you. Just keep going. He said, you're doing fine. He said, as long as you're not asking for donations while you're out, you're okay. I said, I'm not asking for donations. I'm just trying to get people to heaven and keep them out of hell. He said, have a good night, sir. He said, keep it up. He said, the more successful you are, the less work I have to do. On he went. Guess what? Carte blanche. Here we go. America's afraid. Christians are afraid. I'm not afraid. By the way, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are some things you should fear. Don't fear the wrong things. Let's fear the right things. I wonder, maybe you've lost your fear of sin. Maybe you've lost your fear of evil. Maybe you've been running your mouth. Maybe you need to get right and get your tongue out on this altar and let God have control of it.